Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McKay, Michelle Knezovic, Nick Kieser, the reporter, here with you. Hope you're having a great start to your Thursday. Rainy Thursday. Some storms moved through, but hey, you know what? We're getting it done. That's fine. We are broadcasting live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling studios, and you can hit us up on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. That is our number. We'll have some Belmont men's basketball tickets to give away a little later. Just be listening for the keyword for that. We'll give those away. Michelle getting all settled in. How we doing, Michelle?
That was just a major struggle. I had my first mute. My headphones were all tangled. But we're good. We're good. We're sitting, and I'm not even late. It's 9 a.m. on the dot.
That's good. Absolutely. Well, let's get into it. And of course, you look, I'm just going to warn you, over the course of basically until the Tennessee Titans come out and they say, Ryan is our guy, we are sticking with Ryan Tannehill, there's going to be a lot of quarterback discussion on these airwaves. And that's what you want to talk about. So that's where we're going to go with this. And the quarterback market as a whole, and I asked this question. These are the three. Now we're working on listening. This is the question. You pick Tannehill, Carr, or Rodgers for the Titans next year as the starting quarterback. Who are you picking and why? Those are your choices. I don't want to hear, well, I want Peyton Manning to come out of retirement. I don't want any of that. I don't want to hear a draft pick. I want Tannehill, Carr, or Rodgers. Those three. No Josh Dobbs. Those three. That's who you're choosing from. Tannehill, Carr, Rodgers to start for the Titans, who would it be? That is the question today. 615-737-1025. You can tweet at us at Chase on Game, at 1025 The Game, at
Michelle, K-N-E-Z-O-V. And if you're watching our stream, it is there.
There you go.
I'm going to post a poll on it, and I'll share it on our 1025 The Game. Let us know. We'll do a poll choice, too,
on
all of the quarterback choices.
So I thought this was interesting, though, because, you know, with Derek Carr officially being a free agent, Derek Carr can sign with anybody he wants mm-hmm. right now. Yesterday on Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace, you know, gave his thoughts on Derek Carr and what the next stop might mean for him.
This guy, I mean, he went through probably, I don't know, two or three offensive coordinators, people that didn't like him for whatever reason, wanted to get rid of him. Last coach wanted to get rid of him for whatever reason. This coach didn't like him, and obviously he's gone. So there's probably a lot that he had to go through internally that we just don't know about. And it probably, you know, hurt his game somewhat. He gets a fresh start now. And I would tend to lean on the side of, you're going to see a much better Derek Carr with someone else. Sort of like Matthew Stafford, or sort of like some of these other quarterbacks that end up going places. And you know, Rich Gannon was another one. He went from one place and he goes to Oakland, and it's just like a resurgence of his career. Brad Johnson in Tampa, a resurgence of his career. It can happen. You may not be doing it at one organization. You go to another organization, and it's just like, oh, man, a light came on. Well, there probably were a lot of other factors that we didn't know about that were happening. I think Derek Carr, once he goes to another team, you're going to see a much, much better quarterback, I think, once he leaves and finds his team, whatever team that is. Even if it was to come here to the Titans, I think he would be a much better quarterback than what he has been with the Raiders.
That's Derek Mason on Derek Carr yesterday on Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace. Now, I think Tannehill is going to be the quarterback for the Titans. I would stick with Tannehill and then address the quarterback of the future either this year if it makes sense or next year. But I would stick with Tannehill. But I do think I agree with Derek that whoever ends up with Derek Carr is going to get – it's going to be – I think, honestly, the best example is Ryan Tannehill.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be very similar to that. He's going to have a chip on his shoulder. Derek was right. You went through different head coaches and different coordinators, and everything was changing on him throughout his career. Wherever he lands, he's going to have a chip on his shoulder and just this, hey, hold my beer, watch this, more motivation to prove himself right and the rest of the world wrong. And so I do think that Derek Carr, while I don't believe he's going to become an elite quarterback by any means, I do think he's going to have a resurgence with his next team.
Yeah, I agree, Chase. He definitely has, you know, just based off some of the reports coming out of Vegas, too, they obviously, him and McDaniels didn't end on a great note. And when he left, I feel like he was so excited to get Devontae Adams, right? They played in college together. And this year, I mean, they're up there with the Broncos with one of the most disappointing seasons. I mean, they were one of my – I thought they'd make the playoffs, right? And I think a lot of people did, too, when they saw that they got Devontae Adams. And it was, okay, what are we going to see from Derek Carr? And there were just so many other holes on that team. And it was really just a mess. And based off how the season ended and Derek Carr got sat for a nobody, really,
yeah,
heading out there. I mean, that hurts your ego. That hurts, like, I've been your starting quarterback all year now. I'm definitely going to get cut. He now gets cut. And I think he's ready to prove himself. I mean, he's still a young quarterback in this league. I do agree with Derek in this situation. I don't know if I wouldn't choose him over Tannehill to come here. Do I think that if that did happen, did he would have a better season than last year? Yeah, I think he would have a better season than last year because I think so much went wrong last year. So much stuff off the field, on the field. And it just ended up being a spiral towards the end of the season, and then he gets benched, and then he leaves. But do I think Tannehill would be a better option? Yeah, because he's already been in the system. We have a couple texts on the text line. A lot of people are weighing in on this. Justin from Greenbrier. So I know I didn't follow the rules yesterday, but I feel like sticking with Tannehill, Carr isn't much better than him statistically, even though he is younger. I don't care about how much better Rodgers is. I just don't want to have to hear about his condescending and arrogant attitude and deal with his wackadoodle antics. I just don't really want him on the Titans. So what Justin brings up is a really interesting point because Charles Robinson just came on with us at Robbie and Rexford and said, you know, the vibe he is getting are Packers fans are over him. You know, the management is over him. And some of these comments he's making, right? He went on a whole spiel on the McAfee show. He does that week to week. The more I'm thinking about it is, does Vrabel want to have to deal with those types of things during the season? Vrabel is the type of guy who, you know, got to play better, got to coach better, doesn't want to pull the curtain back for anybody in the locker room. And then you have Aaron Rodgers, who's a guy who goes on with Pat McAfee every Tuesday and just kind of says whatever he wants.
Right.
I don't know how that would work.
Yeah, because that would come with Rodgers. Like, yes. That, the understanding would be they're like, hey, Mike, a lot of respect for you, but I'm going to do my thing.
Exactly.
And I agree with you that I don't think Vrabel would take kindly to that. To your point on Charles Robinson, I was going to get to that. I was laughing listening this morning because he said what we have all been thinking. Like, Robbie couldn't even get the question out, and Charles goes on this rant on Aaron Rodgers. We'll get to it in just a second. On Rodgers being so high maintenance.
Charles, I'm just curious. We've talked to you a lot about the Rodgers thing to this point. He's going into the darkness maybe as soon as today, later this week. Who knows when it'll be. And when he comes out.
Don't report it. Yeah, you don't want to be the next person that he's like, you know, fake news and I'm not even in the dark yet. And like, come on. This, like, I'll let you go ahead, shoot, ask the question, but my God, like, Tennessee Titans fans, like, I don't even care at this point. I'm going to say it. Like, why? Why do you even want to deal with this guy? Like, nobody wants to deal with this guy anymore. The Packers don't want to deal with him. He is so high maintenance, and there's just so much crap tied to him that, I mean, you better win the Super Bowl. Whoever's going to get him, like, if he does get traded, and there's every chance that he comes out of the dark and decides, no, I want to stay or I want to retire, whatever hallucination steers him toward his destination. Why? Like, it's so insane to me, and the Packers are beyond sympathetic at this stage dealing with just the ridiculousness. And I am not alone on this side of the fence in saying that once he is gone, no one on this side of the fence is going to cry about not being able to cover Aaron Rodgers anymore. I've, like, had it.
That's Charles Robinson this morning on Robbie and Rex Road, not holding back. And that was just a little piece of it.
Yeah, that was just a small portion.
Basically a whole segment ranting about Rodgers. But he's right. And to your point, Michelle, Vrabel is a no BS kind of guy. And honestly, that's why he's been successful. I was having a conversation with, you know, someone last night about coaches, and I mean, let's just be honest. Vrabel can be an a-hole. That's just what he can be. But I don't think that's a bad thing. I think that is a good thing for a head coach, that he has his players back. He's a player's coach. They love playing for him. They'll go through a wall for him. But when he needs to be a jerk, he can be a jerk. And Rodgers, I don't think, would take kindly to that, because if you look at the head coaches that Rodgers has had in his career, Mike McCarthy now and Matt LaFleur, they are anything but that.
And I do have a feeling that Rodgers was able to walk all over them to some extent, which would not be the case here. And you know, when you talk about Vrabel, he's just a tough guy, and he knows what to get out of these players. I mean, he learned from Bill Belichick, right? That is who he came
Bill
up
Cowher
with
and,
in the yeah. coaching. Bill but, you O'Brien. Know, yeah, exactly. But he is going to be a tough guy. He's going to push these players, you know, past their limits, and that's part of the reason, though. Although, yeah, you know, on the practice field, he can be really tough, and I'm sure a lot of the rookies, their first couple practices, training camp, they're like, oh, bleep, damn, he's intense.
Yeah.
But it's also part of the reason that some of these guys would literally run through a wall for Mike Vrabel.
615-737-1025. You can pick Tannehill, Carr, or Rodgers as the starting quarterback next year for the Tennessee Titans. Who are you picking and why? You can weigh in on our phone and text line at 615-737-1025. You can tweet at us at 1025 The Game. Michelle has the poll up that we have retweeted from at 1025 The Game. So vote in that, and we'll continue that discussion throughout the show. But while I believe it should be Tannehill and not Rodgers, there is one person, you could probably guess who, that thinks the Titans might actually be in the mix. And he gave his theory yesterday. We'll discuss that coming up next. Chase and Michelle, 1025, 1063, The Game. Hey, Preds fans, you can hang out tonight before the Preds game at the Superbook Lounge in Landshark Bar and Grill, Margaritaville on Broadway, with 1025, 1063, The Game. Place your bets with Superbook and enjoy great food and drink specials. Plus, you can enter for a chance to win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Preds home game. Back here on Chase and Michelle, 1025, 1063, The Game. Chase, Michelle, and Nick asking the question today. You got to pick between these three: Tannehill, Derek Carr, or Rodgers as the starting quarterback for the Titans. Who would you pick and why? Michelle has put a poll question up on her Twitter account. We have retweeted that from 1025 The Game, so you can vote in that. And I'd be curious. We'll check the results here in a little bit. But I'd be curious to see. I am voting Ryan Tannehill. I know it's a mixed bag, and that's why I'm asking this question, because I thought it would be a mixed bag. Let's go to the text line. What do people have to say on that?
Yes, we got Jeff in Tennessee here. Rodgers' first choice, just about winning, not about his off-field tactics, although sometimes that can play in. I'm just adding that. And then he said Derek Carr second, just a good player, needs something new. Tannehill will be another mediocre season. Jeff Aaron in Tennessee.
So before we get to some of the other texts, yesterday on Stillman and Company, and look, Jared, these are the rabbit holes that Jared likes to go down, and I mean, this is a big one to go down. But I thought, when you listen to this, I thought he made some interesting points when it comes to the Titans potentially being in the mix.
Aaron's not going to retire because he's got $60 million due to him. And I know Aaron says he's made enough money, and he probably has. I think Aaron would like the $60 million. Aaron doesn't have a $60 million TV contract lined up for him like Brady did when he went from making $20 million or whatever million with Tampa to making $37 million with Fox. Not to say Aaron needs the money, but don't you want $60 million? So Aaron's not retiring. The Packers want to move on. And the Jets, it looks like, don't think they're going to get him. Well, that leaves two teams in the AFC. That leaves the Raiders and the Titans. The Titans have not said a peep about anything to anyone. And they've got multiple mouths now. They've got multiple owners. They have three people in their ownership structure who get thanked anytime anything happens. Amy Adams Strunk, Kenneth Adams, and Barclay Cunningham Adams. Those guys are kept in the loop. They've got a team president and CEO, Burke Nihil. He's kept in the loop. They've got a general counsel by the name of Adolfo Birch. He's kept in the loop. It's not just the general manager can keep his private thoughts to himself and just sit there in silence and then strike like maybe some other GMs can, or maybe like Floyd could, because they want total collaboration. Rand Carthon has to share whatever his top thoughts are with Mike Vrabel. He doesn't have the authority to just do it. And same with Mike Vrabel and Rand Carthon on the other side of it. So you haven't heard a peep from the Titans. Why? The closest we've heard are the soft endorsements from Mike Vrabel when it comes to Ryan Tannehill with a giant asterisk next to it. If I'm Aaron Rodgers, why would I play with the Raiders? It's a crap organization with a doofus head coach. And obviously Devontae Adams didn't matter enough to Aaron to stay in Green Bay with him. So I'm not saying the Titans are in on Aaron Rodgers. I'm just reading the tea leaves here. And I am thinking that there is a chance that this is real, that the Titans are involved.
Okay, that was Jared yesterday on Stillman and Company. Nothing earth-shattering there, but I do think he makes good points. And the thing about the organization that nobody talks, I mean, that's how they're built. I mean, they do. They want to – I mean, that is Belichickian through and through.
That is like you get in this room, Chase. We lock this door. We have our conversations. Nothing in text. Nothing
written. You never leave.
Nothing over email.
It's literally – it's like the Eagle song, Hotel California. You can check out anytime you like, but you can never leave. I mean, that's honestly what it is.
No, I'm sure, like, right, like you think of nowadays too, right? Like Jared mentioned Floyd, right? Like now with people with so – like the ability just to shoot a quick text and then that could be screenshotted. Like it really is incredible that there has been nothing.
Yeah.
To come out.
When stuff does come out, and usually it's Diana Russini that has something from the Titans, it's because they have given it to her. It's Vrabel or whoever, you know, that has said, we want you to break this now. Yeah. They information gets out when they want it to get out.
Well, and, you know, that was actually the first time I heard that portion of Jared's show yesterday. And I don't really think it's going too far down a rabbit hole. I mean, we've talked about how deep the AFC is as far as quarterbacks and as far as teams who already have their quarterbacks. I really can't see the Packers sending him somewhere else in the NFC. So when you look at the AFC, so many teams already have their guy.
Yeah.
So it leaves, you know, less and less and less. The Jets have definitely explored their options if he's not going to go there. And, you know, we kind of have briefly talked about it. I think he would get eaten up by their media in New York.
Yeah, Charles brought that up today.
Of they give you 2 days. And, I mean, he even said, too, if you don't win – if Aaron Rodgers doesn't go somewhere and win a Super Bowl, I mean, that is the expectation right now because that's what Brady did. So people are like, okay, go to a team that's complete and you win a Super Bowl, because if you don't, that's a disappointment.
Yeah, he has to do that. And, like, even Brett left Green Bay and got – he didn't – I mean, the Jets year was meh, but then got Minnesota to the NFC Championship game.
Yeah.
So that's always where he's going to be compared to – and here's the other thing with the Jets. I do believe that the thought of, oh, he's going to do just like Brett Favre did and leave the Packers and go to the Jets is in his mind, and therefore he won't do it. Like, I think he is that conceited when it comes to – being compared to Brett Favre, because I don't care how they might appear publicly now, those two don't like each other.
I also agree that the reason he didn't retire is because he didn't want to be the same class as Brady.
Yeah. Oh, no doubt. I think he wants the spotlight on him.
Or Roethlisberger the year before. Roethlisberger's got two rings.
Right. Andrew on the text line says, this is a good one. What's up with the has-been Packers quarterbacks? I might retire. I want to go somewhere else. I'm going to go sit in a cave for a week, blah, 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 blah. Then back to Green Bay the following year. I'll take Tannehill over this any day.
It's become such a performance in a way, I guess you could say, because, I mean, we went through this last season, and it's this anticipation, am I going to do this? Or let me give a little nugget here on the McAfee show, or blah, 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 blah. Like, he buys the house in Nashville or the land or whatever. And then I'm staying with the Packers. I signed this huge deal. And you think, okay, he signed the 5-year deal, the $60 million a year.
You know what? You just hit on something. He bought the land in Nashville. Do we think his darkness hut is on the land in Nashville? Is he going to come to Nashville for his darkness retreat?
Are you going to bring him his food every day?
No. No, I'm going to go. If it's like a little hut, I'm going to go just like mess with him. But Aaron.
Be his voices in his head.
Aaron.
Come to the Titans.
No, go away.
I have no idea where it is. I mean, I'm sure that'll be released. And then I also heard something that he was videoing it. Don't video it. No phones, no electronics. That's the whole point of a darkness retreat. Yeah. But, I mean, to the point, it's just either don't say anything and figure it out, you know, and let your agents, you know, talk, figure out the best deal, the best spot for you. Like, it doesn't have to be heard. Like, not everybody has to know until it's actually set in stone. Because then you make it seem like there's 10 other different options. And you're like, well, I might do this, and I might do that, and I might do hits. It's just exhausting.
Oh, it is. And that's the thing. Like, unnamed texter says, if you think it gives you an actual chance at winning the Super Bowl, then you take Rodgers, obviously. Antonio Brown had way more baggage than Aaron Rodgers. And the Bucks pick up of Antonio Brown, and they knew that it would help them get to a Super Bowl. Well, I think they knew Brady would help them get to a Super Bowl. But I agree with that. If you feel like you can make the move for Rodgers and fix the offensive line and get additional offensive weapons and actually go from where you are now to being an AFC contender, because that's what you got to be first, then okay. But that is a tall ask with the amount of cap space you currently have and what it's going to take to get Rodgers. And like Jared said, the dude wants his money. So it's like you can manipulate the cap all you want. Mm-hmm. You're still going to have to pay him $60 million to come here and be the quarterback. And you also have to, like, is he going to come in here and do this for a year and get tired of Vrabel and peace out? Or do you know that you're going to have him for ideally 3 years, but at least two?
Well, and here's the thing. If you go and get Aaron Rodgers and you spend all that money and you go out and you say you get a Mike Evans from Tampa and you put together this great roster, you don't win a Super Bowl, that's a huge disappointment.
Andrew from Dover says, Rodgers, if it's 3 years, Carr would be a good fit here if you can't get 3 years from Rodgers. Okay.
I think the Carr.
But I still don't think Carr's an upgrade. The only upgrade is Rodgers.
It's just different.
Yeah. But the only true upgrade would be Rodgers. I'm not denying that Rodgers would be an upgrade at the position. It's just, would he be the right fit with all the BS that comes with him?
Exactly. Andrew texts in. People text in like Rodgers has won 8 Super Bowls. Sorry, folks. And Rodgers, he is no Tom Brady.
Yeah.
He's very, very talented. But unfortunately, what will hang over his head is he's only won 1 Super Bowl.
Coming up next, there's another little piece to this that I want to add. You're picking between the three. Tannehill, Rodgers, Carr. And you can say which one on our text line. But I think that you should address the future while addressing the present. I'll tell you what I mean coming up next here on Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
You said last week you feel like you'll be ready for the season mm-hmm. with your knee, right? Yes. Everything's on schedule?
Yes, sir.
Ready for training camp?
Yeah, ready for training camp. You know, it's a daily process. I'm always, you know, ready to get back, but I'm not in a rush to get back. I want to make sure that I'm 100% healthy and that I can perform at a high level, even higher level than I have been.
That's Vols quarterback Hendon Hooker with Outkick 360 last week at the Super Bowl. Back here, Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, asking the question, Tannehill, Carr or Rodgers, who do you think should be the starting quarterback for the Titans next year? Now, the other caveat in this is, I think if you stick with a veteran, or either one of those three, I say it's Tannehill, Hendon Hooker would be somebody I would look at in this year's draft. I don't think he drops to the third round. I think he's probably going to be a mid to late second round pick, so a day two guy. But you go ahead and you grab him knowing that he, even though he says he's going to be ready for training camp, we've seen guys that are ready for training camp, still it takes about a year to get back to full form. And you start grooming him as your next guy. Now, I kind of feel like that scenario works the best with Tannehill, because then the idea is maybe you get 1 or 2 years more out of Tannehill, and then you turn the keys over to Hooker and make him your next guy. That's kind of how I look at it.
Oh, and I've seen that, and I do think that Hendon Hooker will have a successful career in the NFL. I don't think, like you said, I don't think he'll be a first-round pick. I think he will be a solid option. Rexford always compares him to a Kirk Cousins. I think it could be a solid option, maybe around a Ryan Tannehill, Jared Goff-type player in the NFL. I think he could find himself as a, you know, a backup and then maybe a starter. But here's the way I look at it. The Tennessee Titans have so many holes right now, Chase. And I just don't think, looking at this team, giving up a second round pick for a quarterback right now, when they do have Ryan Tannehill and or whether it's Derek Carr or Aaron Rodgers or whoever is there next year, because you're going to have one of those guys. You're not going to draft Hendon Hooker and then have him start right away. We just talked about the cap hit for Ryan Tannehill is $36 million. So say you do have him. I just don't think it would be smart to draft Hendon Hooker, because you need so many holes filled on your offense. And you're not tanking if you have Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry on your offense together. So the way I look at it is, use your second round pick for whether it's a receiver or a guy on the O-line who can start for you right away. Not that I'm saying I don't think Hendon Hooker could be, you know, a guy in the NFL. I'm just thinking, if you don't think he's your guy, he's your franchise guy, I'm not going to waste a first or second round pick on him, because you already have a veteran guy right now that you're paying a lot, and you have so many other holes to fill right now.
Yeah, and I hear what you're saying, and you're right. I mean, I think free agency is going to dictate a lot of this, of, you know, what they end up doing if they do address the quarterback position via the draft this year. And it's also like, if they come out and they say, now we're going to stick with Tannehill, then you're going to go, okay, well, they're definitely not doing it in the first round. And you may be right. They may just decide, hey, we're going to pass because we have so many other holes to fill. I'm just saying, you eventually are going to have to address the future. And I think it needs to be this year or next year when you do that. Hendon Hooker to me makes sense, because he's a couple years of a project that you could put into. And so if you know that you have Ryan Tannehill, and look, the argument can be made that Malik Willis could fit that mold too, that, you know, now that he's got a year under his belt, he's going to have a new offensive coordinator, new quarterbacks coach. I think some of those moves were made because of development, and so maybe that's to his benefit and we see more out of him. Then you've already accomplished that. But Coach Bob Shoop was on with Stillman and Company yesterday and gave his evaluation of Hendon Hooker.
I think each of these guys has warts. I don't think there's a surefire guy. I think what Hendon Hooker did, now let's keep this in mind. When Hendon Hooker transferred to Tennessee, he was not the starter.
No.
You know, he came in and he competed with Joe Milton, and he beat Joe Milton out, or perhaps Joe Milton lost the job in some way, shape, or form. But and what he's done over the last 2 years for Coach Heupel and the Vols has been off the charts. And he's a great story, and he's a unique athlete who can throw the deep ball. He's a pretty accurate thrower. He can make plays with his feet. He can make plays with his arm. And to me, I think the injury will prevent him, obviously, from participating in a lot of things he needs to participating in draft, leading up to the draft. But by all accounts, when he went to the Senior Bowl, was impressive in meetings, impressive with how he handled himself. So I think, although he won't be maybe that first-round guy, I think he's someone that I think all 32 teams have on their radar for, hey, let's take a chance on this guy in round two, round three. I don't think he's going to last through the second round or the, you know, the first 100 picks in the draft.
That's Bob Shoop yesterday on Stillman and Company talking about Hendon Hooker. And I agree with him. I think he's right. I mean, there's going to be a team, whether it's the Titans or not, that is going to do exactly what I'm saying they should do, that they're going to take that chance. They're going to draft him, knowing that they really don't have to worry about this year, that they can take the red shirt year, develop him, and then go from there.
Do you want to know why I'm laughing?
Yeah.
Because I'm getting deja vu of the conversation we had about the Titans with Malik Willis last year.
Yeah.
It's his redshirt year. You know, he's not even going to take one snap on the field. And it's just ironic because we just see how it turned out. But if we were sitting here and Ryan Tannehill stayed healthy through the entire year and Malik Willis never took a snap. I know he did. But Joe always says this, the unknown is undefeated. Right, yeah. We would be talking about him. You know, he's still a project. Could he be the starter next year? Which is just so funny to think about how quickly things change and you find out things in this league. But we saw Tennessee do it last year. And I do think that Hendon Hooker could be great for a team, you know, to be a project and really develop him and him have time to sit behind a veteran guy, you know, maybe who has a couple more years in the league and then he could maybe take over that starting spot. I just don't think Tennessee is the team right now to do it because they have so many other issues. If this was the Tennessee team that had the one seed last year, go for it.
Yeah.
Go for it. You know? And you didn't just draft Malik Willis and use a third round pick on him who is now not able to help your team next year. You don't want another second round pick not able to help your team next year.
So you're basically in the no category.
I'm in the no for a Hendon Hooker. The only way I'm in for drafting a quarterback this year is if you believe that Bryce Young or C.J. Stroud is your guy and trading up to getting him at one. Because I think that if you think that, okay, that's our franchise guy moving forward and that, you know, this is the draft, he is going to be like a Burrow or whatever, he's going to be your franchise guy moving forward. Okay, I think you go and you get him because they don't come around very often. But I just don't think it's worth it for another project for this team, especially at quarterback.
What I think is going to happen, though, and I'm not saying this is the Titans, there's going to be a team that is going to look at the team that just lost and almost won the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to go, okay, well, they just did that with a second-round pick that people were a little unsure of. And they're going to look at Hendon Hooker and Anthony Richardson as potentially being the next Jalen Hurts, which is a very dangerous game to play. Mm-hmm. But somebody's going to do that.
No, and Chase, I mean, if you look at Hendon Hooker and Jalen Hurts' career, I would say they're somewhat similar, right?
Yep.
So Hendon Hooker, he was at Virginia Tech. Then he transfers to Tennessee. He is behind Joe Milton. Jalen Hurts is at Bama. Then Tua takes over his job. Then he transfers to Oklahoma, gets the starting job. Hendon Hooker takes over the starting job, you know, halfway through the year before last. Joe Milton, he should have gone to New York. He was in the Heisman conversation. He was the favorite for the Heisman conversation for majority of the season. Jalen Hurts makes it to New York. I mean, their college careers are similar. Anthony Richardson, he is still a big question mark because, yeah, I know people see his arm. They see the talent. They see the potential in him. He didn't have a very successful college career. It was very spotty. I mean, some games he performed like,
right. Wow,
he could be a number one overall pick. I think he should have stayed another year in college, but a team will take him. A team will take him on as a project, and it's because recency bias. What have we seen lately? We saw a second-round pick in Jalen Hurts, who people didn't think would do anything in the NFL, and he just made it to the Super Bowl.
Coming up next, we'll get into our daily power play with Greg Wyshynski of ESPN, talk some NHL with him. That is all coming up next here on Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
It's time for the daily power play.
And the score! A power play goal for the Predators.
Covering the Predators and the NHL.
With a shot that stopped by Sarrell.
Now on Chase and Michelle.
Yes, indeed. Back here, Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McKay, Michelle Knezovic, Nick Keyser with you. And every Thursday at 9:45, we're pleased to be joined by Greg Wyshynski of ESPN. Covers the NHL for them. Greg, good morning. How are you?
Doing well. Heading to ESPN headquarters to appear on our show, The Point, tonight. That's exciting.
Oh, going to the mothership. That'll be fun. for sure. So safe travels there. Earlier this week, Predators general manager David Poile was on our morning show and, of course, was asked about the trade deadline. And he said he does not see them as a buyer by any means, which I think we all can agree that, that's probably the right move. He doesn't know yet whether they're a seller and that there's still a little time for him to figure that out. But I got the sense in listening to him and in conversations I've had is that he knows that the next handful of games are pretty much going to dictate what he does. You know, and this is something that's going to be coming up with us every week until the trade deadline or they start to make significant moves. But do you agree with that sentiment that things might be trending towards we could see them selling off some assets?
Yeah, I think so. But I also think that, you know, whether they believe that they are nearing the bubble or whether they believe they're out of it, I think buying's a bad decision in either case, right? Like, I don't think that you could look at this team as currently constituted based on how they've played and say that it's a legitimate cup contender. And I know that there is a certain you got to be in it to win it mentality in this league where if you get into a wild card spot, hey, anything could happen. And maybe that's even more of the case in the Western Conference this year, considering how up in the air it all seems because you don't have that juggernaut necessarily like you had with Colorado last year. But I wouldn't buy if I'm David Poile, whether you think you're going to be a playoff team or not. Selling is going to be tricky, though, man. Again, if you look at that roster, there's a reason Matias Ekholm is the only guy getting mentioned.
Yep.
Because, A, everybody else is locked in long-term like he is, but, B, there are guys that they've tried to move in previous seasons that nobody wanted. So I feel like the selling part of this is going to be even trickier than the buyer part of this.
Is there a guy that pops out to you, though, that you think could at least get some sort of return?
Yeah, it's Ekholm. That's it. Case closed. That's the guy. I mean, you know, I think that there's obviously a premium in this league on veteran defensemen who are going to be under contract for multiple seasons that could be an anchor on your blue line. The fact that teams are chasing players like Erik Karlsson, who has almost what was considered an untradeable contract in previous seasons. I mean, it just goes to show you how rare it is that these players come available. Hey, look no further than the Predators leaping on the opportunity to trade for Ryan McDonagh last year when it became available. So I think Ekholm's the guy. There's always been interest in him. And you know, there's always been the opportunity for the Predators to get a really decent return for him in particular.
Talking to Greg Wyshynski from ESPN, joins us every Thursday. So the Predators currently just outside of a playoff spot. They're about 5 points out of a playoff spot. Now Minnesota loses again. Minnesota's 3-6-1 in their last 10. There's a head-to-head matchup on Sunday between these two teams. What's going on with the Wild right now? Because they're starting to go the wrong way.
Yeah, well, first of all, obviously, you know, their goaltending is unbalanced right now because Fleury has not been very good at all. We saw it again last night. They're just struggling. You know, I think the best laid plans of this team went awry where they thought some of their younger players were going to make a leap that they weren't prepared to make. It just hasn't coalesced for them in the same way that I think that they thought it would. And they're another team that is going to have to kind of figure out things. You know, the hole in this lineup for them has been at center. There was some thought that they were going to be one of those teams chasing Bo Horvat before the Islanders made that trade recently. You know, that's a team that has a serious lineup flaw, and the question is whether GM Billy Guerin looks at this group and says, you know, we can go in and try to get aggressive at the trade deadline and find a center to really kind of bring this lineup together, or do I not like this mix and we'll revisit things in the summer?
Yeah, and the other thing in the big picture is you look at the West as a whole, especially in the Central right now, no one blows you away. I mean, now
no.
Colorado could turn it on and be Colorado again, but there's nobody that really blows you away. So that's why I think if you're David Poile or if you're any GM that is just on the outside looking in, that you could have the mindset of if I can just get into the dance, maybe I can do something with it.
Right, but then you also have the thing of everybody is so close that you're looking at teams to be maybe a bit more aggressive in trying to upgrade their groups. The
right.
Two teams I keep looking at in the West are the Dallas Stars and the Los Angeles Kings. I think the Stars have a real opportunity this season to try to play for the Stanley Cup. It usually is the thing that happens in Pete DeBoer's first season with a team. he goes and plays for the Cup, and then everybody hates him in the years after that. We know that's the case. In the LA Kings case, you know, they've got this window right now of having a really strong veteran core, some young players that have stepped up, but Drew Doughty and Andre Kopitar aren't getting any younger. So in the Dallas Stars case, it's one of the reasons why we're kind of looking at them to maybe be aggressive and trying to acquire one of the wingers that are available, be it Patrick Kane, you know, be it maybe even Timo Meier if they go big game hunting. And in the Kings case, I mean, we're just counting down the days until they figure out what package is going to get that Jacob Chychrun trade done with the Arizona Coyotes, because adding that guy to their blue line will really elevate this group into something a lot stronger than they currently are constituted.
Talking to Greg Wyshynski of ESPN. So the Boston Bruins are in Nashville tonight to take on the Predators. They're the best team in the league with 85 points. I mean, we've seen what they've been able to do really since the start of the season. What makes them so dangerous?
We did a story on this on ESPN recently. I think it was last week. You can still find it on the .com page, kind of picking apart the Bruins, finding out what made them tick. And the thing that we discovered, myself and Kristen Shilton, who wrote the story with me, was depth. That is the one thing you hear from players, executives, everybody across this league, is their depth. They're able to roll four lines. They've got a good, strong back end. You know, the return of David Krejci from 1 year playing in the Czech Republic to become their second-line center was a huge key, because they don't have to go outside the organization, bring somebody in to learn the culture. They have somebody who's been there for championship seasons that they're bringing back. But the biggest thing about the Bruins that people praise along with that depth is you don't have anybody playing outside of their abilities. They're not asking Nick Foligno to score 30 goals, okay? They're asking Nick Foligno to be the best version of Nick Foligno he can be. They're a team that understands exactly what positions in which to put their guys to have them maximize their potential, and it's a really beautiful thing to watch when their system is clicking, because they are a close to unbeatable team.
Greg, speaking of the .com page, you have an article up on ESPN Plus. The NHL's best defensemen, players, coaches, and execs vote for the top 10. I have a feeling that some guy named Yossi has to be in the mix.
He is in the mix. I don't have it in front of me. I believe he's fourth. I'll go ahead and spoil that for you. him and Charlie McAvoy were right there in the 4 or 5 spots. McAvoy of the Bruins. And it was a pretty tight vote, I believe. But a lot of praise for him. You know, he's somebody that sometimes it feels like can fall off the radar for the Norris voters. Like, he got his, so he's not going to be always in the conversation for the award. But obviously the gimmick for this list is that we're asking players in the league, executives in the league, to give us their top 10 lists for each position. And there's obviously still a huge ton of respect from his peers and their bosses on what Roman can do on the ice. It was a really, really interesting vote, and his placing as high as he did, I think, may come as a surprise to some observers, but obviously not to the people that are the experts in this league.
Well, see, I don't want to spoil it, because I want people to go read it, because you do fine work. So check it out on ESPN Plus right now. Greg, appreciate the time as always. We'll talk to you next week.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. Greg Wyshynski, ESPN, joins us every Thursday at 9:45 as a part of the Power Play, talking NHL. Coming up next, we'll stick with the Predators, because I believe the next three games can tell a story for this team and what they may or may not do. We will discuss that coming up next. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.